This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, December 2nd, 2016. I'm Caleb Brown. Trying to turn The Road to Serfdom, or The Creature from Jekyll Island, into popular children's books would be a daunting task. But it's a task that Connor Boyack has done his best to undertake. In his new book series, the Tuttle Twins find themselves, with some artistic license, facing the same problems that confound governments and civil society. We spoke this week about how he's trying to bring the freedom philosophy to young people.
One of the challenges is really distilling the core ideas down to, in our case, a 60-page children's book. You want to hit 3 to 5 core ideas that not only children can understand, but quite frankly, we're reaching an entirely new adult audience who is not familiar with the original works and who probably would never pick up, you know, economics in one lesson. But through this very non-threatening medium, when it's a shared experience with their child, now we're reaching an entirely new audience, hitting those very fundamental core ideas.
Okay, so the one that spoke to me most clearly was The Law by Frederick Bastiat. That would seem to be the most simple of the tasks to translate that, because The Law, of course, itself is very short.
Yeah.
And the lessons there are clear as day.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, too, when you can weave in, you know, legalized plunder, and so we have a pirate in the story. I mean, you can have some fun with it and bring this down to a child's level. But so I've written 5 books for adults and now 5 books for children, and it's actually more difficult to write a child's book. You think, oh, it's just short, but it's hard to have something where you strike the right balance where it's informational, it's educational, it's even inspiring in a way, it's uplifting, but fun for kids to read it over and over again. And so getting that balance was hard. That book, The Law, was our first. And so we spent a lot of time really trying to refine the story, figure out how do we communicate the basic principles of Bastiat's essay in a way that's going to be long-lasting, kids want to read over and over again.
Okay. You also, more recently, you've done The Creature from Jekyll Island, which is all about sort of the inflationary effects of giving some central bank the authority to print money. So how'd you boil that down?
So that one was fun. It's probably the darker book of our series. And so we took an actual creature. The twins, the Tuttle twins, imagined this creature that can go around and change prices and manipulate the money supply. And so we introduced an actual creature, a monster, into the book that's kind of the nemesis and the bad guy in the story. And so they can kind of pinpoint the bad effects of all of this economic manipulation on this creature. And of course, they come to understand that the creature is just a nickname and it's actually a group of bankers and politicians, and it's a bigger issue than that. But the visualization and the story is wrapped around the creature. And so we try and do little cues, little hooks like that, so a kid can understand, well, when you say Federal Reserve, most 8-year-olds would have their eyes glaze over. But when you tie it to a scary creature that they've seen in the book and they can kind of wrap their mind around, suddenly parents have a hook to talk about these ideas with their children.
All right. Some of the other topics you've done, The Road to Serfdom.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that translated?
That's our most recent one. And we did a little play on words. So in our case, serfdom is S-U-R-F-D-O-M, the name of a beach in the book. Serfdom is a beach, and the government has a master transportation plan, and they make an actual road to the beach, serfdom, using eminent domain, of course. And so the twins uncover the unintended consequences of collectivism. They see that, oh, because of eminent domain, this farmer's land was stolen. Because he can't do his dairy farm anymore, the local creamery that's been in town for a century went out of business, causing all these people to lose their jobs, and so on and so forth. And so they trace the ripple effect to be able to see, as Hayek warned us, the dangers of collectivism and central planning. And so we help the young readers of our series begin to observe those effects. So in Bastiat's words, right, they can become a good economist by tracing not only the immediate visible effects, but also the invisible and prolonged effects as well.
Okay. So that's strikingly similar to Economics in One Lesson as well.
Definitely. And that was the fourth in our series. The title of ours is the Tuttle Twins and the Food Truck Fiasco. Similarly, trying to convey, as Hazlitt does in that book, what the effects are of unfair competition, overregulation, and distortion of the economy. So we use the story, which is a quite relevant one across the country here in America, of food trucks competing against restaurants, unfairly being told that they can't, you know, park and operate within so many feet of a restaurant. Institute for Justice and others have been litigating on this issue most recently. And so we introduced that story because it's a very real one that many of our young readers are familiar with. They've been to a food truck, and we can use that as the visual and as the real-world example to show what Hazlitt was talking about decades ago.
Have you thought about branching out into doing other things that aren't so strongly tied to some specific classic work?
Yeah. And in fact, we're soon going to be launching a YouTube series. I haven't announced this anywhere else yet, so your listeners get it first. Probably in early January, we're going to launch a YouTube series where each video will treat a different current event or historical issue. The books are going to be reserved for being based on original treatises, texts, essays, and so forth. We want to point our readers, after they've read our book, to the original work so they learn more and can go deeper in that issue. So we're going to do 10 books in the series. Each one is going to be based on a book or an essay. But we want to branch out. There's so much more material to cover. And so we're going to have a video series with some child actors covering all sorts of other issues based with the same kind of framework and philosophy as the Tuttle Twins book series. We're going to take it to video soon as well.
You've got these books, and as you mentioned before we started recording, you are selling them. You are packing them up and shipping them. And I've seen pictures.
Some late nights.
I've seen pictures on Facebook of you doing exactly that. So what is the next step beyond, you know, publishing, you said 10 books and a YouTube series, but
yeah.
What's after that?
So it's been kind of an experimental project. When we started, we didn't know if the market was there. Elijah, who's the illustrator, is a friend of mine. He's also a father of young children. We said, hey, let's do a book. Let's see how it goes. The response is overwhelming. We're turning it into a series. We're doing a video series. But, you know, it's spread very well through word of mouth, certainly in libertarian circles, but beyond in homeschool circles and elsewhere. But we've come to realize that there's so much more compelling of a need to compete for the minds of young children where they're not getting this information. So specifically in public, you know, private and charter schools where the parents aren't familiar with these original works. The teachers certainly aren't. They're not presenting this information. If anything, kids are getting the opposite type of information in schools. So early next year, we're going to begin a campaign, a donor-supported campaign, to try and fundraise enough to widely distribute these books directly into schools, giving teachers lesson plans so they can teach some of these economic and political concepts directly to their kids, and then the kids get the books to take home and continue reading.
How does this translate? I mean, for parents who buy these books and maybe are not familiar with the original works, what's the sort of spillover impact for parents?
That was actually accidental. We figured, hey, let's create children's books. And then about a year into it, we started hearing a lot of stories of the parents themselves being engaged in and becoming informed about these ideas, becoming really intrigued and going and reading the original, you know, books that ours are based on, beginning to, you know, become part of the liberty movement. So we almost kind of stumbled onto that secondary audience, but now it's a big focus of ours to try and appeal directly to the parents, older siblings as well, marketing to them some information, some courses, some books that kind of build upon our series for an older audience. And so for us, really, it's about reaching an entirely new audience. For too long in the liberty movement, we've waited for people to graduate college, you know, or at least high school to get to them. But by then, they've got a couple decades of, you know, propaganda, for lack of a better word, that we have to overcome. We have to de-educate them before we then educate them on these ideas and this philosophy. So we're trying to say, let's start from a young age, let's build from there, let's get them while they're young, introduce these ideas, and then see what the future holds.
How has, we're recording, of course, on Cyber Monday, how was Black Friday for you, and how have sales been?
Yeah, like you say, we've been packing up the books ourselves, so it's been a lot of work. We're soon going to have to transition to something else because it was kind of a, you know, side project, but it's becoming a huge thing. Parents are spreading the word like crazy. Social media has gone nuts. We're coming up on 25,000 books sold. And so definitely it's kind of reaching kind of critical mass where we have to commercialize this a bit more because it's reaching a much bigger audience that we need to be able to support. So we'll get there. It's been a ton of fun and the response has been awesome.
Connor Boyack is author of The Tuttle Twins book series. Subscribe to this podcast at iTunes, Google Play, and with Cato's iOS app. And follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.